Now, I saw something in the news which kind of prompted my thoughts on this. So let me just give you three names. A little quick quiz. Mm-hmm. Tell me what they have in common. Madonna, Schwarzenegger, and Jeff Bezos.
They're all famous and Gen X.
Sure. I'm not sure they're all Gen X, but I'm pretty sure Schwarzenegger is almost 80. But
oh, damn.
Let me just give you the next step in this quiz. Madonna. So throughout her career, she's changed the type of music that she plays. She's gone from pop princess to provocateur, and she's an actress. She's a businesswoman. Schwarzenegger obviously started as a bodybuilder, became an action movie star, went on to be governor, so in more politics. And more recently, he's moved into philanthropy and also that business, and was working in finance in New York. And he was inspired by the rapid growth of the internet and all of that. And everyone knows his story, but he then moved across to an online bookstore called Amazon. And obviously that's then progressed in what it does as well. So all three of them have continually reinvented themselves.
Okay.
I know.
That was like not obvious. That was so niche.
I was going to try and give you a little clue to try and get there. That's right. They've all reinvented themselves. And I want to ask you as well, why did you move to London?
Just to mix it up.
To change things. Did you want to reinvent yourself as well? Is there a little bit, an element of that?
Not really.
No? You're disproving point here, man.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I didn't go as you planned. But no, I was just languishing and I wanted to mix it up.
I'm going to disagree with yourself a little bit because I think there is an element of reinvention of what you've done. You've gone over there. You haven't necessarily changed yourself, but you've changed other things about what you're doing, where you're working, your location. Mm. And so what I want to talk about today is a reinvention manager. That's the idea for today.
I'm very much on board with this. I'm liking where this is going.
Yeah.
And for all you haters that keep sending me messages saying that I agree with everything that Dan says, it's because he comes up with good ideas like this, and I do resonate with that.
You've already disagreed with me once. So
true.
You've already counted your point for yourself. But yeah, so all these people that I mentioned before, they've reinvented themselves. They've probably had advisors and mentors. They can probably afford to do all that stuff. So what I'm thinking, it's not a lifestyle coach or a life coach or anything like that. It's specifically a reinvention coach or a manager. Now, I'm thinking there's two different paths you can go down. The coach is more just about giving that advice and the guidance, whereas a manager is probably more hands-on. And so they can still give you the advice and all that, but they're actually doing some of those things for you, or they're opening up opportunities, or they're making the call and setting up appointments. So yeah, it's someone basically who will guide their clients through these major life transitions or transformations. So entertainment is one. We've talked about a couple there. Careers, and again, we talked about Jeff, but moving from, and a lot of people may get 20 years into their career and want to completely change and have to start from scratch. It could be life stages. So it could be a midlife crisis or divorce or something like that. Or like yourself, moving to a new area or a new country. And so it's an opportunity. Or actually, one last one could just be generally, you just feel like a change. But really, it's helping you build this new profile. That's what it's about. So how can these reinvention managers help you build this new profile?
Cool. So what's the model?
I think the model is pretty straightforward. I think that there's a couple. So back in, I think it was episode 22, we spoke about that motivational concierge, which is along similar lines, but that there was more of a one-day offering where you get to experience all of your dreams at once, and then it gets taken away. And so that fear of loss is meant to then drive you to want to make those changes and make it more permanent. This one here is more about, yeah, that coaching or service for a fee. That's the basic revenue model. And it could be individual coaching. It could be group coaching. You could do other programs as well. I think if you're going to do it as a manager, it needs to be a bit more hands-on, so that there needs to be, I don't know, a maximum number of clients that you can take on, so that you've actually got the time to do what you need to do for them.
I'm curious as to how you've come up with this idea. What's happened in your life, mate? Are you okay?
No, it's because I saw Beyonce has launched a country album, and it's become the number one country album, I think, in the US. And you do not think of Beyonce in country. And she's another one who has continually reinvented themselves. And it was just this thought of, there's a lot of people going through different changes. And you know, COVID has been a driver of it, where people have realized that the job they're doing isn't fulfilling or satisfying, or the work-life balance thing. And so I think people are still going through these changes of how they want their life to be. And there's never a good time to change, but at the same time, any time's a good time to change. And so what this Reinvention Manager would do is just help prompt you along and then actually do some of those things on your behalf. So that, because that a lot of people want to do things, but it gets on the list of a long list of things you need to do and you just never get around to it. So the Reinvention Manager would help you specifically with those tasks to get you towards that reinvention.
I need more examples of tasks.
Okay. So for me, for example, if it was career, and I did change my career, I was in media for a long time and I'm now in automotive as a product manager, which obviously it's somewhat related, but it's quite a big change. Now, I did that myself and it was a challenge to get to there. But I also would love, if I could do things again, I'd love to be an astrophysicist, which I know sounds weird, but space.
Dude,
is
me
a,
too.
Yeah, it's a separate hobby of mine.
No, straight up, that is actually my other, that's me in another life as well.
Okay, we should talk about this offline. But yeah, so for me going into that.
We should talk about this offline. Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe we can do an app about space, that is. Yeah, but for me to do that, that would require quite a bit of change and having someone help me go through it. And that's probably specifically like a career coach or a career reinvention manager. And I do think you probably do need those specialties. So there's almost like starting the business. It's almost a collection of reinvention managers for those specific niches. So you might have a career reinvention manager, a life stage reinvention manager, and even within that, you might have a midlife crisis manager or a divorce manager. So I think you could build this network of career managers, transition reinvention managers. That's where I think you could go with it. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And I'm seeing many other spin outs or like models you could run, like a marketplace for it, or as opposed to being the manager yourself, you'd want to, you know, run the marketplace of these people and then help them get the clients.
Yeah, you could do a marketplace. I didn't think about that. But that's a good one. AI potentially is another use here as well, whether it could just be ongoing advice. And then the actual action part of it is the human that takes the lead on those tasks. But yeah, look, I'm going to keep this one short. That's the idea. Okay. Reinvention manager.
No, I like it. I think it definitely has a strong use case. And there's similar things going on, but it's almost like a rebrand and a more focused, lasered focused coach.
I mean, life coaches, like the life coach industry broadly, it's $4.5 billion.
Oh, it's huge. Look at a guy like Tony Robbins.
Yeah, kind of thing.
But it's insane.
And coaching is generally just about the advice part. So I think there's two things. It's like you said, it's becoming a lot more focused on specifically reinventing yourself. Yeah. And also it's not just the advice and the coaching part. It's then also the next step of being your manager in this reinvention.
Brilliant. Love it. Love it. I'm on board. Although, yeah, probably a higher, I feel like it's, yeah. Something you'd have to charge high for or do the marketplace thing. What have I got? So what I want to talk to you about today is a massive problem around the world and a huge problem in Australia as well, of which there's government funding up for grabs for someone who can solve this problem and people with startups for this problem. So if you're listening and you do want an idea that's actually viable, I've got a great one for you. Which is, I want to solve the problem of the drought.
Okay, as in the weather, dry weather.
That's correct. I want to start a company, weather as a service.
Okay. You haven't told me about this idea, so I am interested to hear how you're going to solve weather as a service.
We're a company, we go around to countries or locations, or say, for example, farms, and we can create rain and
are you gonna
overcast weather.
You're going to stand there with a hose just like looping over onto the fields?
No, natural rain in the sky. And we're going to do it through the creation of clouds, through a scientific process that's been done for years and years, but for some reason hasn't really translated, which is called cloud seeding. So they are now doing it in Saudi Arabia at the moment, and it's recently been in the media. I'd like to start a weather as a service company based on this cloud seeding behavior. There's around four sort of companies that have been doing it since maybe a couple have been doing it since the 80s, but it's just they have no funding and they're very private, sort of secretive companies. And if you do want to start a company like this, there are risks and a lot of regulation. You have to have a lot of government approval to create these clouds and do cloud seeding within an area. Yeah. So it is a very regulated space, but I'm thinking that this is like an industry that's ready to be disrupted. There's no new startup coming in, disrupting the space, doing it better, doing it faster, doing it quicker, doing it against the regulation. Not that it's great, but look at, say, Uber in the taxi industry, for example. They broke the regulation and chickens only recently come home to roost with Uber, but they're well beyond that. They're in a good place.
I think this is a fantastic idea if it could be sold. And I've heard of cloud seeding before, but I do wonder if there's only four companies doing it, why aren't there more? And if you said they're more private and shady, is there a reason for that? But because you're messing with nature, obviously. If you had that kind of, let's call it power, to just unleash a rainstorm on someone or a particular house or a city or an area, like I can see that there obviously has to be regulation around it. Because they basically fire a plane and they release some kind of chemicals into the air, right?
That's correct. So, and that's why it's regulated, right? So it's weather modification, and the technology that's required is they send in silver iodide or sodium chloride into the sky and into an already existing cloud, and it helps and creates a chemical reaction which helps it basically expand. So that's why, because it is sending the chemicals in the sky, and the risk is that when it rains, those chemicals are within the water, then that gets into the soil and of earth, and as well as the airway and so forth, and the waterways, and then suddenly we're drinking it, right?
Question, would it be easier to just pipe the water there and just water it in the normal way with sprinklers?
If you look at a really remote area, probably not.
Okay. It's
the middle of Australia or Saudi Arabia, where, you know, or like Dubai, these places don't really have great water systems. Actually, and a fun fact about Dubai, someone was telling me, I need a fact check on this, but someone was telling me recently about the water system in Dubai being deliberately created so it needs constant maintenance by a really large business, who I won't call out because I have a lot of connections there, but deliberately creating the waterways in Dubai to need constant service and not a self-perpetuating like water system technology that we've had since Rome.
You know? Yeah, but that also sounds like a current business practice, planned obsolescence. The technology in particular is built to only last a certain number of years so that you have to replace it.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just trying to lean into that because you're saying, why wouldn't we just send water there? Maybe they're just not doing this cloud thing because someone's preventing it, or there's some sort of reason why countries aren't letting it happen because of, yeah, it sounds a bit more conspiracy theorist, but there might be some sort of, some things are as simple as just because no one's doing it or someone's stopping it, I think.
Yeah,
it can be.
I've thought about this in Australia, actually, because obviously where we are in Adelaide, down south, we do get rain, but up north in Northern Territory, in Queensland, across the top half of Australia, they have the wet and dry season. And when it's the wet season, the rivers rise 2-3 meters. And imagine if you just had a big, literally just a big pipe that went from there all the way down to us, or to the rest, to the lower part of the country where it's, or even the middle of the country where it's less, there's less rain. But thinking about it, at a global level, across the whole middle of the earth, you've basically got this wet and dry season. And so it's almost, how do we redistribute that huge amount of water that falls during the wet season to those other countries that experience the dry season or that are just generally drier? And again, just a massive pipe, underground pipe or whatever it is, but just a pipe to shift the water from, yeah, those wet areas to the dry areas.
Hmm. Yeah. Building more infrastructure seems like a risk to me rather than doing it in the sky. That's what I was thinking, because it just is a massive task to do what you're doing. They do it for sure, and I'm sure it can be done. Yeah, you're right. There could be definitely other ways. In terms of market size, though, I was just thinking, I did read a number, which was the weather forecasting services market as a broader category is at about $4 billion per year in value, which is interesting. So I think there is definitely scope for like weather services. And you always meet someone randomly at a party or a barbecue or an event, and it's, oh, what do you do? So I'm a meteorologist. And What do meteorologists do?
I have never been to a party and someone has said they're a meteorologist.
Really?
What kind of parties are you going to?
I keep meeting meteorologists. And it's,
but it's, you know. I would say the number one topic that anyone talks when you meet them, like when you meet someone, not for the first time, if you're just catching up with friends or family or whatever, it's, hi, how are you? It's good, thanks. And then talking about the weather. That's the one thing that everyone has in common that anyone can talk about.
Exactly, because it affects everyone, which is why the whole global warming thing is so potent, the messaging there as well. And with the cloud setting, I just wanted to just jump back quickly around the feasibility. Is the other sort of risk and limitation is that, to your point, it is a global thing. So it's like when you start cloud setting in one area, that's going to affect the environment. So say they did in Australia, that might affect New Zealand or like Singapore or Indonesia or something, because it will actually genuinely create clouds. And then the clouds just blow away.
But it would be in a fairly localized area, I would have thought. Like, not to the size of raining on one particular field, but it wouldn't go. Like, I would imagine that by the time it gets a couple of kilometers away, it's dissipated, as clouds do now.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. And that's why this is where I start falling short. I'm not sure about the maturity level of the technology.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you should definitely create a consultancy or some sort of company around this and go global with it. Have countries as your customers and or agricultural areas, large, maybe like a West Farmers who own a lot of farms or something like that. Yeah, that's the idea.
I love it. Drought, obviously, it's a huge problem. Going forward, it's likely to be more of a problem. And obviously, on the other side, it's floods and too much rain. Maybe we could come up with a giant umbrella over your farm.
I've got a solution for that as well, which is a space startup, which is sending a mirror into space to then reflect the sunlight back to Earth where we need it.
I think I've heard about that kind of stuff before. And solar panels, some of the solar panels use a similar process where they have like this tower in the middle with a concave mirror. And so when the sun shines on the mirror, it then focuses the beams and then it reflects back onto the solar panel. So it's a more concentrated beam of sun and obviously you get more energy through it. The mirror in space. Exactly. Thing, yeah, I think I've heard it going both ways, whether it's going to be beneficial or not. Because I think if it's like holding a magnifying glass over an ant, if you focus it too much, then there's the risk that there's too much heat, too much energy, and that you might burn the thing you're aiming it at. But
yeah, I can definitely see some sort of Elon Musk creating a weapon here and then using it for his own devices.
Yeah, if you've got enough concentrated enough beam, yeah, it could be used as a weapon. You're right.
Some evil thing. Cool. I guess we can end it there, right?
Yeah, let's end on climate change and solving droughts and rainy weather. Done.
That's the pod.